As I share this podcast with you, I am overwhelmed by the amount of needs that Americans in particular at this time have. I recorded this podcast with two of my friends about Hurricane Harvey right after that had happened, and as we were recording the podcast, the news of all of the devastating wildfires in California and the West Coast were just coming to light. And now, as I'm recording this intro to go with this podcast to send to my podcast editor, Hurricane Irma is set to hit the United States pretty soon. By the time you listen to this, Hurricane Irma either will or will not have hit the United States, and this is how fast these emergencies are descending upon our country right now. I know this is an unusually busy hurricane season this year, and we've added in the fires in the West. And that's just what I know about the United States. There are all kinds of emergencies that are happening all around the world that I'm not seeing on my media. I don't watch TV. I don't listen to the news. All I do is on my iPhone. I scroll to the left and I look at what the news says is the top four stories of the day. That's all I do. I don't really watch news at all. What I know is that emergencies and emergency situations are a guarantee in life. You will not go through your entire life and not experience some kind of emergency. You may not experience a natural disaster, but you will experience some kind of emergency where you need to leave your house quickly, where someone needs you to come to their aid and advocate for their medical or financial needs. And at some point in your life, someone will probably have to do the same for you. They will need to know your medical history. They will need to know where your money is in order to best meet your needs for you. A few years ago, a friend and I put together the financial and medical organizing binders that you can get on Organize 365. And I created those as printables. And then this spring, my graphic designer turned them into editable PDFs, which means that when you download these files, they're full color files, they can be printed out and put in a binder and you use a pen to write all the information on that and keep it in a binder. That's what I plan on doing. Or you can download these documents to your computer and open them up and actually type the information right on the beautiful printable on your computer and save it as a digital file. I will probably do that second. I'm a very paper pencil girl, so I will print them out, find all of the information, and then I will save it as an online document. What I thought about when I saw everything happening in the whole basic city of Houston underwater was that all of that important information that everyone is keeping in their filing cabinets, whether or not it's organized in the filing cabinets, cannot be carried out in the middle of a flood. All of those papers are ruined or gone, and all of the information on that paper is gone as well. So often we keep things in filing cabinets because that big packet of papers has two or three salient pieces of information on them that we need. So the financial and medical organizing binders help you pull that salient information onto one printable sheet, or it's a set of sheets, but one packet of papers, so that essentially all of the important information that's in your filing cabinet is on these printable pieces of paper. Then you could grab a 2-inch binder that has each family's medical history and all of your financial information in a binder. No, you won't have all of the actual physical documents, but you will know who has your insurance policy, what's the name of the company, what's their email contact, and what's your policy number. With that information, you can recreate whatever is in your filing cabinet. Also, in the financial organizing binder, a lot of the information is not even in your filing cabinet. When I needed to care for my father and then subsequently handle his estate after he passed, there's a lot of information that you need to know that is not on a piece of paper anywhere. What is your driver's license number? You have that information, but it's not in a filing cabinet. So part of filling out the medical organizing binder and the financial organizing binder is going on a scavenger hunt and finding all of your important information in order to keep it in one place. So yes, these are products that I sell. The medical organizer is $18 and the financial binder is $28. So together that is $46, right? I still haven't done the math. Pretty sure it's $46. But if you go to organize365.com/Harvey And by these two organizers there, 100% of that $46 is going to go to the Avondale School in Houston, Texas. So one of the things our family likes to do with our donations is to support special needs children. And the Avondale House in Houston supports the autistic community and other special needs children and adults in the Houston area. And I know that when tragedy strikes, that it is often the charitable donations in that area that rely on the generosity of others that stop receiving some of those extra funds because the need of the city is so great. I almost feel guilty that I've picked a place in Houston now that I know that there is so much need in California and most likely in Florida and on the East Coast by the time you're listening to this. But this is the partnership I've decided to do. I know that this will be a worthy cause. I know that you need to make these medical and financial binders for your family. I don't need to receive the money for it. So the money that you will be paying for these organizers that you and I both need to do, you'll hear in the podcast, I haven't even done mine yet. I'm printing it out today. I'm going to get it done. We never know when tragedy is going to strike, but we know it is eventually. So let's get prepared. Let's get these organizers. Let's get them filled out. Let's get our 2-inch binder ready with all of this stuff printed out. So if the inevitable happens and you need to have someone care for you, you need to care for someone else, or you need to leave your house in a hurry, you can grab this binder and know you have 90% of what you need in order to survive whatever emergency situation that you're in. That link again is organize365.com/Harvey. Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. All right, ladies. Settle in. Today, class is in session, and I am going to, once and for all, help you with your time management and productivity. I finally figured out what is missing for women. And when you hear it, I don't know if it'll be as revolutionary for you as it was for me. But I loved recording the podcast about the morning routines for the modern day woman, and the feedback you guys have given me on that is awesome. I have really hit a chord here with the fact that yes, we as women have a different morning routine than a man would. And especially if you have children, your morning routine is different than people who do not have children. But regardless, man, woman, children, no children, whatever, you need a morning routine. You need a plan. You need to proactively tell yourself what you should be doing. Because if we don't tell ourselves what we should be doing, you know what we do. Oh yeah. We binge watch TV. I obsess about all of the hurricane damage. I'm on Facebook way too much. I don't know. Sometimes I just sit around overwhelmed with how much I have to do and actually do nothing. I just sit there for a long time. I know you know what I'm talking about. But this whole idea of making a plan, making goals, how boring. I don't want to tie myself down to some, you know, I can't get it all done anyway, so why put it in a list and look at it? It's not going to happen. I am obsessed with the hurricane damage that is happening lately. I know I've already told you about this. When I think about what's happening in Puerto Rico and the islands, even more so than Houston and Florida, like at least they're attached to the mainland. Can you imagine being on an island and they can't even get the fuel and the food that they need? And there's a story I read today about this woman who's about to give birth and she looks at where a wall was and there is no wall. And she's literally making bread with drywall as the fuel instead of charcoal to make the bread. And I'm just paralyzed with the enormity ahead for all of the Caribbean islands to get started again. Like I keep reading about it because maybe I think I'm going to come up with a article that says, just kidding, everything's going to be fine. And the magic magician people came in and fixed all the roads and all of the electricity and everybody's okay. I know that's not what's going to happen. I know it's a long road back. I wonder what I would do in that situation and I'm just paralyzed. In my nice, warm home with running water, I'm completely paralyzed for people who live basically half a world away from me. And as I really reflect on how I feel not being able to help in that situation, I think about how you might feel about your schedule and about your home. I know for the last 6 years, I was already an organized person and I've been working on my organization and productivity. And the amount of time I have available to myself now is amazing. It really is amazing. And what I'm able to do with my focus in my business and in helping you is such a blessing, not only to you, but to me. Like, to be able to minister and serve others and to teach. I love to teach. Like, when you email me that you listened to a podcast episode and you're listening to my son and I walk through Walmart and I'm with a bear head, a toaster, and a rope, and you're crying and you're telling me you're crying. Oh my gosh. That's so awesome, because that means that you get it. It's not just about getting organized so we could be in some magazine someday. Newsflash, they're not coming to take pictures of your home. They're not coming to take pictures of my home either. The purpose of getting organized and being productive is so we could do what matters most and work with our family. But when we look around at our own house, at our own schedule, at our own pile of paper, we are paralyzed. We are overwhelmed. And part of why I have not talked about time management and productivity as much is because I really feel like you need to get physically organized before you can get mentally organized, which is a little different than what I've been telling you. I do think the change happens in your mind first and then in your physical reality as far as getting physically organized and decluttered. But when we go to productivity and time management, we're at a whole nother level. Now we are visualizing what it will look like and mentally making the change. Everything is done mentally now. Everything I talk to you about is done mentally. So what I have done is tried to make it physical in some way. I am so excited. My graphic designer made the most amazing printables for you that go along with this podcast. And you can get them by going to organize365.com/plan, P-L-A-N. And we'll be using these same printables in the podcast next week. And really, they go with the podcast number 192 and 193 about creating your morning, afternoon, and evening routines. And what I finally put in physical form is what I do 3 times a year myself when I go through my 3 years, which is podcast number 134. Don't worry about all those podcast numbers, because if you just go to organize365.com/plan and download these worksheets that I've made for you, I have listed all of these podcast numbers on the sheet, so you can then just find the exact podcasts you need to complete each section. I know a couple of things. Number one, we are not going to be able to make the change in our time management and in our schedule overnight, just like you cannot make change in your physical organization overnight. So I'm going to walk you through the 4 different steps I have for you in creating this plan. And the magic sauce is going to come in the middle when I talk about making your daily schedule. So the first couple of the pages I'm just going to go through, because we've already covered these back in podcast number 192 and 193. We talked about creating morning routines for the modern day woman, and also afternoon and evening routines. If you have not listened to those podcasts yet, I am sure you've heard of a morning routine and an afternoon routine, or a morning routine and an evening routine, but I really flesh out in podcast 193 my afternoon routine, and my afternoon happens between 2 and 5 p.m. after I stop my productive work, when I'm assimilating the kids back at home, figuring out what's for dinner, handling household chores. That afternoon routine actually helps me be more productive, more focused, and is the most important of my 3 routines right now. So when you get the printables at organize365.com/plan, you're going to be able to flesh out right there in the printable. It'll say, what is your morning routine, your afternoon routine, and your evening routine? Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to print this out twice. And the first time, I want you to write down what you actually already do every morning, afternoon, and evening. Okay, every morning I shower, I brush my teeth, I make breakfast, I make coffee. And Then on the second sheet, I want you to write down what you want your morning routine to look like, whatever that is. It doesn't matter. I want to throw in a load of laundry every morning. I want to make my kids hot breakfast. I want to meditate. I want to exercise. Whatever it is for you that you want to add, go ahead and add it. And you can even make a list of 5 years from now in my morning routine, I want it to have these 8 things. That's fine. Go ahead and write all that down. That's awesome. Then go back and circle 1 or 2 things that you're going to implement and add to each of your routines right now. So if you go back to podcast 192 and 193, you can already listen to all about what's in mind, what I added, all of that. But on these worksheets, I want you to list what is. Then on another set, you could do what is the ideal. And then out of the ideal, only pull in 1 or 2 new things into your existing morning, afternoon, and evening routines. Now, you may not even have an afternoon routine at all. I'm going to have you start an afternoon routine with only 2 things in it. And you're thinking, oh, but I could do more than that. Well, maybe. I'm telling you, I can't. Like already, I'm looking at the goals that I had last month because I'm recording this. It's almost the beginning of October. I didn't hit all of my own goals and I only picked a couple of things. It takes us longer to implement in reality. Our brain can make the shift really fast. Yeah, I want to throw a load of laundry in every morning. But your physical body and your morning brain is not used to throwing in a load of laundry every morning. It's used to doing that at some other time of the day. And so it is a cognitive and a physical activity to change your routine and incorporate throwing in a load of laundry every single morning. Once you do it, and it's been a couple of months, you will wonder when you ever didn't do it or why you didn't ever do it. But making it a habit really takes a lot of cognitive effort. So I would rather you pick 1 new thing for the morning, 1 new thing for afternoon, and 1 new thing for evening, and be successful in 2 months of incorporating those things than to pick 3 things for each and feeling like you haven't gotten any of them done. And the podcast next week, is going to be about good, better, and best goals. And I will flesh out more of that later. So at this time, go ahead and make the long list, but only pick 1 thing. All right, so page 2 of the workbook is where I'm going to overwhelm you. I know you're already overwhelmed. You're like, thanks, Lisa. Check. I already overwhelmed myself. I don't need you to overwhelm me. Thank you very little. No, I'm going to overwhelm you. I'm totally going to overwhelm you. And there's a purpose for this. I have listed out, those of you in the 100-day home organization program already have this. This is already in the beginning of the planner that you received. In the beginning of the 100-day home organization program, you now get a planner, which is why it's sold only a couple of times a year. I know people are like, I'm ready to start now. I'm like, great, we're in the middle of the planner. You're going to have to wait till the next time. So sign up, get on the wait list, and then you'll be ready when we sign up again. But in the beginning of the planner, I give you a promotion. You're now a CEO, the CEO of the Productive Home, which is a process to become a productive home. And in that planner are these lists that I'm giving you. They are all of the possible roles and responsibilities that you may have in your life. And there are a lot of them. So I often quote the Pew Research Institute's study that states 28 hours a week is the average amount that American men and women spend on household tasks, not including childcare. That is more than a part-time job. Currently, the division is 18 hours for women, 10 hours for men. Yes, I'm going to be recording a podcast in November about why is it that women are doing all of this. There's a reason. But for now, it is what it is. So you as the woman, you have an 18-hour a week household task list. And, you know, we're going to do a time study later this year. I'm going to have you do a time study and find out how many hours are you doing? Because I read that and I thought, yeah, right. I am not doing 28 hours a week. Mm-hmm. When I did a time study for Greg and I included Greg's time, we were spending 36 hours a week on household and childcare related tasks. So that included driving, but we didn't have any little kids. Like we didn't have to watch them that much, but we had to do a lot of driving. 36 hours that we were spending. And that was a couple of years ago. I should redo my own study. Some of the things that you do that you might not even think about is just maintaining your calendar, putting the vacations on there, holidays on there, planning date nights. For me right now, I would guarantee you I'm spending at least 3 hours a week on my calendar, at least, because I'm managing two teenage calendars and my husband's calendar and moving it all into a family calendar. And the logistics around here, I could run an airport with the amount of logistics experience that I'm getting. There's the obvious home-related tasks of cleaning, organizing, maintaining, all of that. The financial tasks, balancing your checkbook, creating the monthly budget, paying the bills, debt repayment, taxes. There are the car-related times, driving, car maintenance. I just had to get an oil change. There went 90 minutes of my life, right? Being a parent and a caretaker, all of the food prep, shopping, cleaning up, and then taking care of yourself, all of your personal growth, lifelong learning, spiritual care, self-care. I spend a ridiculous amount of time in personal growth. I love it. Like, I am such a personal growth junkie. I'm sure this is not news to anyone listening. I love conferences. I love seminars. I love online courses, books, audiobooks. And I go down a rabbit trail and I will research like crazy. There's everything related to clothing, the purchasing, the organizing, the maintaining, and the laundry. Healthcare coordinator is a large job I personally have. It may not be a large one for you, but it is for me, which is getting the prescriptions, scheduling the doctor's appointments, going to the therapy appointments, all the routine visits, and maintaining all of the information that goes with those. And then there are other responsibilities like running errands, returning things, maintaining, charging, replacing, backing up, and fixing all of your electronics. Have you ever added up how much time that takes? And then the things we want to get to, like being the photo and memory historian, planning the holidays, planning the vacations. And I'm sure there's more that I didn't have on my list. So what you do at organize365.com/plan when you download the workbook is you're going to go through that whole list that I just gave you, and you're going to cross out all the ones that do not relate to you. And then you're going to have in front of you all of the ones that do relate to you. And then on the next page in the workbook, I want you to list out and brain dump all of your to-dos. When I did this a couple of years ago on the way home from Florida in the car, I had 8 pages in a legal pad of things I wanted to do or needed to do in the next couple of months. Some of those never got done. Some of them got delegated. A lot of them did get done. We'll talk about how we're going to do them next week. Make the list. Write it all down. I know some people don't write down things that are on their list that they need to do because, number one, they don't want to overwhelm themselves. And number two, when they look at everything that needs to be done, they get completely paralyzed. And this is especially true if you have ADHD. Especially true. But it is necessary for you to do because even if you don't write it down, it's still in your mind. And sometimes once it gets written down on that piece of paper, you go, "That's crazy. I'm going to write a book." Well, maybe you are going to write a book, but not tomorrow. So you may write down, "I want to write a book," but it may happen 10 years from now. We're not going to be attached to when this stuff is going to happen. Just write it down that it's something that's on your to-do list. Something on my to-do list is to get all of our prescriptions automated and shipped to the house instead of me going to Walgreens all the time. It's on my to-do list. Might not be on yours. Write it all down. Okay, now we're to the last page, and there is one thing that I want you to go ahead and do this week before you listen to the Good, Better, and Best podcast next week about goal setting. And this is planning your time and creating a schedule for you. So interesting. I've started having people using my coaching services, and as they're using them, they're saying, "Lisa, you never told us we could hire you as a coach." I was like, "Oh, I didn't?" They're like, "No, you never tell us how we can work with you. We have no idea." And I realized that when you go to buy anything on my website, like you can buy that exact thing, but you can't see my whole store. Like you can't see all of the things I'm selling. Don't worry, we're figuring it out. But you can hire me as a coach. It's a 45-minute call. If you just go to organize365.com and click on the Work With Me tab, it is the third drop down. It just says book a call with Lisa. And basically what I've been doing lately on these calls is women are emailing me and saying, I want you to look at my schedule. I want you to help me get more done, become more productive. And I love this because, you know, I love jigsaw puzzles. The more pieces, the better. And so when I have you fill out the survey in advance where you tell me like what your day is like, who works where, what they do, all that, I can literally start moving your day around so that you're doing the same things and freeing up time. Some of the things I've told people to do on these productivity calls is, one lady, I told her she had to take a nap every day. She loved that. Like, I do fun things. Like, being productive is not being a robot. It's not turning you into the artificial intelligence that we're afraid is coming. Being productive, making your life more systematic and productive, gives you more time and freedom. What you think is, you think you already have time and freedom because you're choosing how you spend your minute, every minute as the minute comes to you. But what I'm telling you is, when you plan your minutes in advance, the night before, the week before, doing this workbook, what happens is you have more minutes. And the more minutes you have, you can either plan how you're going to use them, or you could decide what to do with them as they come to you. But when you are successful in this, and you start to realize that if you write down the night before the top three things you want to get done tomorrow, and miraculously, after about 6 weeks of doing that, those three things almost always get checked off the list, you're like, ooh, maybe I should add four. Like, you start realizing that you can tell yourself what to do in a way that you still like you. So I want you to really be open to what I am going to say next. And what I have found with most of the women I've been coaching lately is that they need a schedule. Now, I am an entrepreneur, and entrepreneurs do not like to be told what to do. They like freedom. The number one thing an entrepreneur wants is the freedom to change their mind, the freedom to try something new. They're always chasing the shiny object. Like, ooh, what's a new program? And many, like 95% of entrepreneurs and small business owners go out of business before their fifth year in business because they can't handle the freedom that they desire. And when you have that freedom, when you're a business owner, then you also have the responsibility of being able to create something that the marketplace wants to buy, and disciplining yourself to taking action on your ideas and pivoting and trying until you can take the idea you have in your head and present it in a way that the marketplace will buy it, and then repeat that action. So what I realized is that if you work from home in any capacity, even though you may work for an employer, or you may be in a direct sales business, which is quasi-entrepreneur, but not totally entrepreneur, because you at least have marketing resources and accountability and groups that you could be in. Like, you're not 100% on your own. It is hard for you to tell yourself what to do with your days. And even more so, if you are a, quote, stay-at-home mom or a homeschooling mom, you are completely in charge of your schedule. There's nobody telling you what you need to do during the day. That's, you know what happens? You don't tell yourself either. And then you cannot figure out why I can't even get anything done on my list. It just seems like, you know, the kids always need me, or my husband gives me these tasks, or I need to volunteer for this thing. I just can never get anything done on my list. And the reason why is because you have not put a structure to your day. You have not created a schedule for yourself in order to say to people, I'm sorry, I can't do that right now. I'm doing XYZ on my schedule, because you feel like, well, I have this freedom. I have this open schedule. So I'm available for my kids. So I'm available for everything. Well, when you're available for your kids all the time and there's no structure to your day, then your day just goes away. It's kind of like this. Let's picture it with money. So if you get $200 out of the ATM, that $200 goes away, right? Sometimes you know where it goes. Sometimes you don't know where it goes. But if you get $200 out of the ATM and you know that you have to get gas for $50, you have $100 for grocery, and you have $100 or $50 for entertainment, then you at least have a better idea of like, oh, that entertainment is $60. I'm sorry, I can't do that. I only have $50, right? Because you've decided that that $200 that you're getting out, how it's going to be divided. Or you might say, ooh, that's a really good entertainment option for our family. So I'm only going to spend $90 at the grocery store. So I have $60 for that entertainment. So sometimes you just get $200 out of the bank. It just goes, like you don't even know where it went. And sometimes you get $200 out of the bank and you've earmarked it for different things. And so you make better choices with where that money goes. The same is true for your time. The only difference between time and money is you can get more money. I know you might think right now, really, Lisa? Where do I get this money? I'd like to get this money you speak of. It's true. You can get more money. You can never get your time back. Never. You can show me where I could buy time other than delegating. And that is one way to get more time. But personally, my personal, physical, human time, I can never get that back. I have a finite amount of time on this earth and I can only spend it a certain way. But we don't think about time that way. And because we don't think about time that way, then we just spend it all of the time. I want you to really think about this week before we get to good, better, and best goals next week. I want you to really be thinking about how are you spending your time? Because your time has a value. And that brings me into work. And this podcast won't be this year, but eventually I'm going to have a podcast called What is Work? I'm so done with this. And I think it's mostly a Gen X. I'm a Gen X 45-year-old woman. I think it's more my age group's mindset about work. Like growing up, it was like you were either going to be a stay-at-home mom or you were going to be a working mom. Well, I'm both. But that's not how I really thought I was making the decision. I thought I was making this decision to be a stay-at-home mom. So then mentally, I told myself I wasn't working, even though I was working, because I was home. I was physically at home. So there's this mindset that 40 and 50-year-olds have about work is separate than family, and we're constantly trying to figure out how to balance it, no matter how many people tell us how many different ways, there's no such thing as balance. The millennials have this right. You guys have a more holistic view of like, home, work, life, it's all together. And part of it is because a lot of you are already working from home or freelancers or going from job to job. That's not a negative thing. I said to two people yesterday, I'm like, oh, you're a millennial. They go, no, I don't really identify with being a millennial. I'm like, it is not a cuss word. I'm not like degrading you. I think millennials are awesome. Like I'll do a podcast about that too. There's no negative about your age group or your demographic. It's just kind of how we can start to look at the differences between generations so we can appreciate them so that we can communicate better. That's all it is. It's not a derogatory term. But this idea of work, I think especially for 40 to 50-year-olds, not as much on the other generations, I could be wrong. This old idea of work is that work equals money. And if you're doing that, you're not taking care of your kids. I don't know. Maybe it's just me that thinks that way, but I definitely think that way. And I'm starting to realize that work and my new definition of work, and I want you to embrace this whenever I personally say work, this is what I mean. Work is your life purpose. The thing that if I said you need to work today, what would you tell me you are doing? For some of you, you would say, I am raising my children and molding the next generation. Some of you would say, I am focused on the education of my children and I am homeschooling. Some of you would say, I really want to give back to the community and I'm actually flying to Puerto Rico and I'm going to help with the hurricanes. I'm a mission-oriented service volunteer. Some of you would say, you know, I really feel impacted to go into the corporate space and help corporations be better and reach whatever, blah, 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 blah. That is my work. Some of you would say, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a direct salesperson, I'm whatever. That is your work. The thing that you do that is your life purpose. And yes, I know there are a lot of you in direct sales where you really feel like it's not even about the money. The majority of people in direct sales don't make money. So it's more about the purpose of the product that you're trying to reach the world with. You know that your product has changed your life. And if this product can change someone else's life, that's what you want. The majority of people do not get in direct sales to make money. The majority of people get in direct sales to have a community, to build self-esteem, and to be able to share the mission of the company that they're in. That is their work, is to share the mission. So, work is your life's purpose. You may say, hey, I'm one of the 70% that doesn't like going to a job. I'm going to a job every day because I have to go to a job, but I don't like to go to a job and that's my work. So I don't understand what this life purpose thing is that you're talking about. I disagree. You are going to a job that you don't like because your life purpose is to provide financially for your family so that your family can do XYZ with the money that you provide into your family. It all comes back to your passion in life. And your passion in life is probably to financially provide for your family for some reason, either for their existence or for their betterment or for additional things that wouldn't be available if you were not working. So it all comes back to our passion. And I'm not saying you have to, I'm not saying you have to be in a utopia where you are enjoying how you are providing your work to your family right now, but there is a reason behind the work that you're doing. Now, I want to talk to you about this idea of focus days, buffer days, and free days. And this is an idea I'm hearing from strategic coach Dan Sullivan. I've been following him for a couple of months, and I'm really intrigued with the messages that he has. He's 72 years old. He's been coaching for, I think, over 40 years, and he has this program called Strategic Coach. And I like how he fleshes out days. And I have done this, but I haven't worded it the way that he does. So he has focus days. And those are the days when he works on his work. And he does 3 work-related tasks each day. And because he only does 3 work-related tasks each day, and he's a master delegator, his 3 strategic tasks he does each day become bigger and bigger and bigger because he's not doing small tasks. I am saying that purposefully because I want you to realize as you start to change your mindset to the way that I work and the way that Dan works, at first, you are going to be able to check off the 3 things a day that you wanted to accomplish, but they may be 3 very routine or not big rock activities like getting all the dishes done in the house clean, doing the laundry, and I don't know, enrolling your child in piano classes. You'd be like, great, I do that every day. I could have written that down any day, Lisa, and checked off 3 things. Yeah, that is probably true. But as you keep going through this process with me over the years, you will realize that those 3 tasks that you do each day will get bigger and bigger and bigger. You may find that your work, whatever your work is going to afford you the ability to hire a housekeeper, and then that cleaning the house is no longer ever something that ends up on your top 3. I know I use that excuse or that example a lot, and I am not saying that everybody should have somebody cleaning their house. So I don't want anyone to feel that because I keep using that example. It's just a really easy one for me to come up with. So those are your focus days, the ones where you're focused on your work. Then there are free days, which in theory, you don't do any work whatsoever. Now, because Dan Sullivan does not have children, and he literally lives in his house as if it's a hotel, and all of his meals are catered, and he is driven everywhere. This is where I'm going to differ a little bit from him. Not that I've been through his program or not, but again, I got to adapt this to the modern day woman. I'm a modern day woman with children. I'm never going to have a free day away from work because raising my children is my passion. Doing Organize 365 is my passion. Taking care and improving our house is my passion. So unless I'm like not in my house or with my kids, which means I'm traveling, which I am all for, I'm not going to have a true free day. Like I'm always going to be doing the dishes, but a free day for me might be working on our landscaping, even though I consider that part of my work, but it's something I don't normally get to and I enjoy. And honestly, I don't have days where I 100% don't check in to Organize 365 because I love you guys. And I want to check in on what you're doing and I want to keep getting more ideas and things that will improve and grow. But as I get further into dividing my days out like this, I'm sure I will get better at having free days. And part of why I need to get better at having free days is so my support team can have free days. Because we all love Pat. Hi, Pat. She always listens to the podcast. And she takes Sundays off. But if I email her or if I need her or if she checks in because she checks in too, she will work on Sundays. So she is not taking any free days from Organize 365. I need to get better as the leader so that she can take free days off and not even think about Organize 365 because that is how I should be leading. So focus days, free days, and then he has what he calls buffer days. And I have called that my flex day. So whatever you want to call it. So for me, Tuesdays and Fridays are flex days. And those are days where I might do some work-related activities. I do a lot of the admin activities for Organize 365. But really, for me, what I do on those days is that's when I schedule doctor's appointments, run errands. So for example, we just moved Abby from her private school back to public school. And on Tuesday, just happened to be on Tuesday, they were able to see us to do a walkthrough. So Abby had her physical therapy appointment in the morning. We had an hour break. Then we went over to the school and we made the decision, yes, she was going to be enrolled. Now, I could have taken her home and enrolled her the next day. But I thought about my week and I thought, you know what? No, we're going to just drive over to the other school, unenroll, and then we're going to drive over to the new school, enroll, make sure I have all of the paperwork, get it all done because it's Tuesday. And if I put that on Wednesday, that means I'm not going to do my work on my focus day because now I am doing an errand related task. That's when I do my laundry. That's when I pick up my prescriptions. That's when I run any errands I need to do. That's when I do extra driving. That's when I, you know, anything I could do errand related, kid focused, household related that can't be done on a Saturday or Sunday gets scheduled on Tuesday or a Friday afternoon. So those are your flex days. So on page four, at the top of page four, I have a little column, a row. I have a row. I'm terrible about rows and columns. So a row, like a one row out of a calendar, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And what I want you to do is write in focus day, buffer or errand day, and free day. And I want you to kind of pick how many of each do you have. If you work a corporate job, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's going to say work, 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 work. And then on the weekend, you might have one buffer day and one free day. However your days work. Also, I know I have said that I do the majority of my household tasks on Sunday. And the reason I've always done that is because it's kind of like my home buffer day, just like I have work buffer days, my Organize 365 maintenance buffer days. So Tuesday is kind of like a work and home buffer day, but Sunday is almost all home-related task buffer tasks, which lets me not do things on Saturday because I know I'm going to get to them on Sunday. So as we're mixing focus, buffer, and whatever, the three kinds of days, as you're mixing them all into one day, which is what I used to do, in the morning, I'm going to be focused. In the afternoon, I'm going to run errands. In the evenings, I'm going to be free. What happens is, for me at least, something gets shortchanged. Like, I don't feel like running the errands in the middle of the day. So then they don't get done because I take more free time. Or the errands took all day and then I didn't get any free time and then I'm annoyed because I didn't get my time, which means then I'm up to like midnight on my phone in my bed trying to give myself some of my own time. The things I do are like crazy. And so now when I kind of like, okay, these are content focused days, these are errand days, then I could say, oh, can that wait until Tuesday? It can wait until Tuesday. It's kind of like a Sunday basket for all of these miscellaneous requests that come at you. Fine. I'm going to be in the car some days, a lot of Tuesdays, from 6:30 a.m. until 6:30 or 7 at night. But that means that the rest of the week, I'm not in the car as much. And I could consolidate all those errands and that kind of thought process and go, fine, I'm running all these errands and I'm going to listen to an audiobook or a lot of podcasts that day. Even if you can only get one focus day, one buffer day, and one free day a week out of the seven, let's start with those. We don't have to start with the end goal. We could just start with one. Maybe you just want to say, ooh, I like that idea of having a buffer day. So I'm going to pick it. It is going to be Sunday or it is going to be Tuesday or whatever day it's going to be for you. Now, the next part, this is the most important part. You are going to create a schedule for you. So I want you to pretend like you're making this for your child or your sister or your coworker or your spouse or somebody and not you. Because if you think about making it for somebody else instead of yourself, you're a little bit more objective. And I've given you three columns, three choices of days, because you really don't have seven different kinds of days. Like every single day of the week is not different. You have, if you work corporately, you have a Monday through Friday type day. You have a Saturday, you have a Sunday. If you are a stay-at-home mom with kids in preschool, you have a Monday, Wednesday, Friday day, a Tuesday, Thursday day, and a weekend type day. If you are, whatever, like me, and you get to choose what your days are like, you have a focused work day, a buffer day, and a free day. And so I want you to create what these different days would look like. And you've already done your morning, afternoon, and evening routine, right? So you can just block those out each day, morning, afternoon, and evening routine. And maybe you find on the weekends you don't do the afternoon routine. Maybe you don't. And I have left the time blocks empty. So some people start their day at 5 a.m. Some people start their day at 10 a.m. Oh, the one other example I was going to give is if you are a nurse or you work or you're a firefighter or somebody like that where you have days where you work, you know, 12 on, 12 off, all that. Well, you have a what a day is like when you go to work, what a day is like when you are recovering from having worked through the middle of the night, and then like a typical day. So it doesn't matter what your the external pressures are on your life. You probably can get down to only two or three kinds of schedules of days that you have. So let's say that you typically get up at 7. Then your first block would say 7 o'clock, and then you'd have morning routine. I don't know how long it takes you to do your morning routine. 30 minutes, an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. Some people it's 2.5 hours because their morning routine is they get up all the way through their first child gets on the bus, and that's 2.5 hours. Well, then that's your morning routine. Just block that out, morning routine. This is the important part. Do not put your whole morning routine on there. I want you to have one line, morning routine, 7 a.m. up, morning routine, 9:30, because that's the end of your morning routine. This is the important part. What happens after that morning routine before you hit your afternoon routine? Some days for me, my afternoon routine starts at 2, and some days my afternoon routine starts at 5:30. So on a day when my afternoon routine starts at 2, what happens between the morning and the afternoon routine? This is the part we're not planning. This is the part where we go, I have a morning, afternoon, evening routine, and then I'm at work, and then I'm at home. What are you doing? Even if you have a corporate job, I encourage you to flesh out what happens during that corporate job. So I have done some consultations with corporations, and they will say, we want our people to be more productive. What would you do? And in most cases, they have an email, instant messaging, and phone stimulus incoming problem where I say, could we have company-wide where like from 10 to 11, we don't instant message everyone? And they're like, no. I'm like, okay. Could we do it department-wide? Could we just do it in each department that from like 9 to 10, they get to do focused work? And so far, I keep getting the answer of no. But if you own a corporation or you work for a corporation or you have your own small business, I really encourage you to give your employees some focused time where they don't have to reply to your email and your instant message and your whatever. Know that they are available. They will come in. They will check their email. They will figure out what's going on in the day. But from 10 to 11:30, you're not going to instant message them or email them or call them unless it's an emergency so that they can get some focused work done. Just a little pet peeve I have. But what is the symptom of corporate America is true for you at home as well. If you are at home, if you're like, that is right, I work in corporate America, I get no focus time. Okay, well, we can work on how you can get more focus time even if those external pressures are on you. There are still ways to do it. Let me trust you. But I want you to start to say, okay, from 10 to 12 is my focus time. So I'm going to clear out my inbox before 10. And as emails come in, I'm going to see them out of the corner of my eye. But if I know they can wait until 12, I'm going to make them wait until 12. And maybe you take your lunch at a different time. You go through your email from 12 to 1, and then you take your lunch from 1 to 2, if you're able to do that. There are different things you can do to make yourself more productive, even in the corporate space. Now, for those of you who are home, home-based business owners, direct sales owners, entrepreneurs, stay-at-home moms, homeschooling moms actually have something over all of the rest of you, and that is they've put together a little school schedule. So they have their little school schedule. Okay, we're going to have story time. And everybody starts, and they have that schedule. We all need that schedule. We all need that schedule. What are you doing from 9 to 10, 10 to 11, 11 to 12, 12 to 1? What are you having every day for snack? What are you having every day for lunch? Do you have it ready? Like, you prepare your kids to go off to school with their snack money, with their lunches already packed. Well, if you're sitting down for your day and your work is to work on a volunteer project, do you have your snack money and do you have your lunch already planned? Do you know where you're going, what you're having in advance so that you could just get up, do your lunch, you get back to your work? We need to start thinking like we are still in school or we are still working in a corporate America environment, even if we've never worked in one. And creating this kind of a schedule for yourself is liberating. It feels like, are you kidding me? I work for myself from home because I don't want to have a schedule. That's fine. That is valid thought. Are you achieving your goals? Are you accomplishing everything you want to accomplish? If so, then I would like to listen to your podcast because I'm all in on that program. But for the majority of us who are stay-at-home moms, direct sellers, entrepreneurs, all of these things, we're getting, you know, some of the things checked off of our list. And some of the things are just staying on there long enough that they just drop off on their own, or we just never really get to them. You know, I said earlier about writing a book. That is not a far-fetched dream. Anyone can write a book. I've written ebooks, regular books. You can write a book. You totally, totally can write a book. But you cannot write a book if you don't have writing time on your schedule. So I want you to flesh out for yourself, and this is going to be a little hard and a little abstract if you're not used to making schedules. If you have ADHD or ADD, or you've never had a schedule that works well for you, or you really resist putting any kind of parameters on your time, I still want you to do it. And you may need to do a coaching call with me to do it. I would love to do that. Just like I told you with the morning, afternoon, and evening routines, only pick one thing. If either A, you are really resistant to this, or B, you are so overwhelmed, you have no idea how you would do this, I just want you to plan the first hour of your day. So you have your morning routine, your afternoon routine, and your evening routine, right? I want you to plan that next hour after the morning routine. Morning routine ends at 9. What happens from 9 to 10? Maybe what you need to do is observe what happens from 9 to 10 on most days. I could tell you the first hour of my day is always, I have down daily work tasks. Daily work tasks for me means that I always check my email, check my bank balances. There are a couple of websites that I check every day. I go over my to-do list. I make sure I have everything ready to go. That's the first half an hour to hour of my day. My real work starts 1 hour after I start working. You may need this rev up time like I do also of going through all of these routine things that you do every day. Write those down. Make that your first hour of work checklist. And then just start plowing through that checklist. See if maybe it's taking you 90 minutes right now. You could probably get it down to 45 minutes within 6 weeks. Then when it's down to 45 minutes, what do you do with that 45 minutes? You just saved yourself. All right, I will be expanding on this more as we start to do it, as I start to do more coaching calls with you guys and I hear how this is working out. Probably in January, I will record a 2.0 to this creating your daily schedule. But we need that much time. We need 90 days of actually doing this and implementing these small changes. Oh, this is going to be the game changer. So you guys are starting to ask me about this. I'm organized now, Lisa. I'm getting organized. You got me organized. Let's work on productivity. Okay, I hear you. We're working on productivity. So get started on this. And next week, I'm going to talk to you about good, better, and best goals. You are going to love goal setting by the time I'm done. Remember, go to organize365.com/plan to get your free workbook to go through this planning with me. You guys, have a great week. Well, I really don't have anything to add to that podcast other than I'm just weak inside thinking about the tragedy that so many are experiencing right now through these natural disasters. You will never, ever hear me say, "It's just stuff." Yes, I help you declutter. I help you organize. I help you figure out what is your amount of stuff that you want to have in your home. But everything in your home, whether you've decided to declutter it or not yet, whether you're organized or not, is your stuff. And when you lose your stuff, there is a loss there. I know it's physical items, but you will never hear me say it's just stuff. What I will say is we need to be prepared and we need to organize our Sunday basket first and foremost so we stop paying our bills late and know where different pieces of paper are. The amount of sanity that a Sunday basket brings you is like enormous, and you could do that for free. I talk about the Sunday basket so much. I mean, you're probably hearing it in the middle of the night. The Sunday basket, the Sunday basket. I need a Sunday basket. Make a Sunday basket. Use my financial and medical organizers or create your own and just go through your paperwork and write down the information that you need. Fill out a password book so that you know what all the passwords are to everything that you have access to so that someone has that in the case of an emergency. We all want to think this is not going to happen to us. And who has the time? I mean, nobody has the time to go sit down and go through your filing cabinet to write down all of the salient information, which when you need that, you could just go look it up until you can't. And so I'm using these natural disasters to urge us to take the action we want to take. We want to have this organized binder. We want to have a Sunday basket. So use this encouragement to do that. The money will benefit the Avondale House. If you don't want to do that, but you do want to give to the Avondale House, if you go to organize365.com/Harvey, there is a donate button. It does not go into my bank account. That button directly links to the Avondale House website, and you can make a direct donation there outside of the Organize 365 community. We all need to do our part to support everyone, and the way that I know that you can do that, even though it seems really odd, is to get yourself ready for the next emergency so that you can be a help instead of needing to be rescued yourself. I'll be back with you next week.